Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We love you. We thank you for your influence on our lives. We thank you that we influence people. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, and it's woven into the dough, into the fabric of society, in every sphere of influence, in the homes, and in the businesses, in the schools, in churches, in the government, media, everywhere. God, that your kingdom is advancing, and it's beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen. You do not have to be Kim Kardashian to be an influencer. You do not have to be a celebrity social influencer. You don't have to be a person that has 400 million likes on Instagram or Twitter or whatever platforms that are out there. Incidentally, I'm excited about this next year because Pastor Rick and I, we talked about digital influence and bringing our culture into living rooms and smart devices and all of that. That's all brilliant. That's all awesome. We are absolutely going to do that. But there is something profound, and even marketers right now are recognizing this. There's something profound on that encounter, person to person, one on one, mano a mano. They even call them nano influencers, where people who are engaged more and get into their lives more and are more interactive seem to have more influence than, say, a Kim Kardashian, who has a gazillion likes. And I thought about that, and I thought about us, and I thought about our city, and I thought, you know what? We have no idea the power of our one place of influence with people. We have no idea what one encounter with God, what one moment with God, what one testimony of the goodness of God. We have no idea what that one thing can do to transform a life. The definition for influencer I gave in the first service, I'm not going to really get into that, but basically it's just that they influence people for decisions. I want to influence you with these four biblical thoughts and these four biblical stories, because I think as we understand this concept all throughout this message, I'm going to be repeating some things that I really want you to capture, and it's this. Number one, you have influence with the creator of the universe. You actually have influence with him as you come under his influence so that we can be an influence and change the course of human history. We're influencers. I asked it in the first service. I won't do it in the second because I know everyone's going to raise your hand. But there's this thought that I can't be an influencer, and I can't tell you how much a lie from the pit of hell that actually is. Everybody influences somebody in some way. In these four accounts, I want to go after four things, a couple of things that I believe that God wants this house to pay attention to between now and Easter. I want you to remember this acronym, PUSH, pray until something happens. It's what we were doing in worship. It's what we're going after. I love what Pastor Aaron said a couple weeks ago. We're not just trying to have a revival. We're in one. I am revival, and so are you. And because I am revival, I'm an influencer. We come under heaven's core values and their thought processes. And I know we wage a war on those thought processes every week. But I am so convinced and persuaded by the goodness of God that I believe even today there are areas you came in heavy, you'll leave light. Why? Because heaven's influence has come upon you. I want to start in Matthew chapter 15. And I want to encourage somebody in here, because some of you may want instant results instantaneously because you want your influence with God and his influence upon you. You want instant results. And while that works in microwaves, sometimes God brings a crock pot answer. True. Absolutely true. Matthew 15, verse 22. This is the story of a woman who is a non-Christian. She might be frequented in the bars looking for love in all the wrong places. She could be hanging out with the Wiccans, the warlocks, the wolves, the witches, and whatever else, maybe an orc, I don't know. The point is, the boy, there it is, Lord of the Rings reference. I might even get a few Star Wars too. Anyway, the point is, she was not a covenant person. She would not be found in church at Elevation Church on a Sunday morning. She absolutely would not. And so Jesus has gone on a rescue mission, and he has violated the social norms of his day. Say influencer. That was weak. Say influencer. Jesus left what was comfortable. The covenant people, the children of Israel at that time, he left what was comfortable, and he violated certain people's grids so he could go after the one. Preach is good, but are you willing to do it? Preach is real good, but are we willing to do it? He was. He goes into this land in He encounters this, what they call a Canaanite woman. In verse 22 of chapter 15 of Matthew, he says, a Canaanite woman from the region came out, began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me. Lord, son of David, my daughter is cruelly, demonly possessed. Demonly possessed. As opposed to demon possessed, I don't know. But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How many know there's more to the story? Sometimes when God says something to us, he doesn't give us the full story right away. Let's just camp on that for a second. Think about that. He says, this is what I was sent for. Now, we know the end of the story on the other side of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What we didn't realize is that when God said, for what she didn't know was when God said that later, for God so loved the world, he meant the world. Not just the people in the world, but the world. All of creation, Romans says, is groaning for us to awaken to our authentic identity and get it and manifest it as influencers. For God so loved the world. So that means that we have the ability in Christ to change the physical options of a city, the physical metrics of a city, the crime rates of a city. No, we're not perfect, but he is. And he gives us example after example in scriptures where no's become yes. When we push. This woman was a pusher, not a drug pusher, but a pusher. So here's what he says. He says, she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. So a woman outside of the covenant begins to worship him. Interesting. Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. See, the influence of Jesus drew this woman in. His reputation preceded him. He was a results getter. How many of you know if we never got results, we would advance nothing? Let me put it to you this way. If we don't get answered prayers ever, the kingdom would not advance. It means somewhere, we have to get our prayers answered. Otherwise, we become more religious and we worship the discipline of looking good while fasting and praying with getting no results instead of actually praying, fasting, believing, challenging thought processes that are against the kingdom of God. If we don't get results to answer, if we don't get answered prayer, we're bored, we're religious, and we're miserable. Push. Push. If I feel like I'm a little pushy today, it's because I want you to push. Pray until something happens. Then Jesus, he says, your woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Notice at the beginning of the prayer, she wasn't healed at once. But once heaven was influenced and came under the influence of this woman outside of the covenant who was not a Christian, this woman came under the influence and influenced him so that she could get a breakthrough for her daughter who was also influenced. Let me put it to you this way. Behind every Billy Graham is a person who pushed. Behind every Bill Gates is a person who pushed to change the course of human history and tech. Let me get real simple. I don't know who invented the internet. I don't know if it was Al Gore or not. Probably not. I don't know. Whoever did invent the internet, here's the deal. Behind that, somebody was praying somewhere for something, for a breakthrough in culture so that we could extend the kingdom. And now we can reach people with the gospel on the internet on the four corners of the earth. People could be watching right now in Mozambique. Think of this, people. Think of this. We have influence. Now, back to our story. This woman, she gets a silence from heaven. Some of you have been praying and praying and praying, and it's crickets. You're not hearing anything. Notice her posture changes. She moves into worship. Heaven was silent. Then she has to endure Jesus's no by saying, if you're not careful, you could take that as almost like an offensive race card. I can't believe Jesus. He's talking about us and them and the children of Israel versus us Samaritans. And oh, Mabel, can you believe that? And she goes and talks to other people who feed her offense. How many know that doesn't push anything? Then she gets to a place where she busts through the offense, keeps pushing through, and Jesus answers her on that last one and calls her a person of great faith, a woman outside of the covenant. My fellow Christians, what is our excuse? This woman gives an example for us to follow. The influence that she had in that outcome. She prayed through disillusionment. She prayed through slight. She prayed through prejudice. She pushed through that. She pushed through a religious answer. How many people stop short of a divine answer because they decided that they were happy with talking to other people about how God answered some of their prayer but not all of their prayer? Or they went to a Bible study and they stopped short of the divine counter and breakthrough because they simply felt good about being religious instead of actually getting answers to prayer. Let me be really blunt. Some of us, and I've heard it. I heard it after the first service. I've heard it. Sometimes we get this idea that the form of going after God in prayer is enough. Ladies and gentlemen, what a lie from the pit of hell. Do I look intense? I look intense. God puts us in his influence, under his influence, to come into agreement with his influence so that we can influence him, so that under that influence we change the options of people around us. It's never about one, it's about others. And the wheels in the sky keep on turning. I'm going to bring it together, I promise you, I promise you. I preached this, I made myself happy in the first service, I really did. I give you an example here. I got a picture I want to show you to illustrate this. And I dressed up for you today, I decided to wear a bow tie today. I felt like being an influencer, you know? So, can we show this? Okay, the weird guy is me, and the little girl with the bunny is my daughter. And it is a pre-Easter bunny for charity. And you say, well, what's the big deal, why are you showing that? Let me tell you about the power of pushing. Pray until something happens. 20 days, persistent, asking, seeking, knocking, dropping those sad little eyes. Convincing, persuading. She was fully persuaded and she got her bunny. And I said, wow, I melted. And I said, Lord, look at that. And he said, yeah, look at that. That's what my heart does when I put something on your heart for you to influence me with. So who's influencing who? Don't let disillusionment or a silent answer today inhibit you from a breakthrough tomorrow. Say push, push. Matthew 14, next story. I want you to capture that prayers that are authentic, real, going after something that he birthed in you that is non-religious but is super practical, that gives application and breakthroughs for you to enjoy and others around you to be influenced by. It is absolutely legal and is probably his influence on you that is triggering you to influence him. Right on. Matthew 14 is a great example of a prayer is really a dialogue of Peter and Jesus talking, which is what really prayer is. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And prayers that move you move him. If you're not moved by it, there's a good chance he may not be moved by it. But when he's moved by it, you become moved by it. Peter, you know the story. They're out in the boat, wind and waves, it's howling. Jesus is coming, crossing over from the other side and doing only what Jesus does. He walks on water, doing only what Jesus does, until Peter comes under the influence of God. There's something about Jesus that draws us into this place, even when he, where are you? Where is he? Is he out? Where is he? He's way over there. Is he a ghost? What is that? There's something about coming under the influence of Jesus and going, I want to do something different today. You know what, Jesus? If that's you, tell me to come and I'll walk on water. There's something about getting in the presence of God that makes you say things and do things that are irrational, illogical, and darn near impossible. And so the scripture says it. It says it in verse 29 of chapter 14 of Matthew. He says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat, walks on the water, came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretches out his hand, took hold of him, said to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. A couple of things I want you to understand here. Number one, your revelation of your divine encounters with God, where you get influence and he influences you and you influence him, in those divine encounters, you cannot take that revelation to you and impose it on someone else. In essence, Jesus and Peter are dialoguing. He gets this revelation, this thought, I can walk on water. Jesus can, I can. He gets the divine revelation and he begins to walk on water. But here's the point. It is impossible to walk on water. For you and I to try that, he didn't walk on water, he walked on Jesus' word. And because he walked on Jesus' word, he walked on water. But if I try to walk on water when Jesus' word was for you, how many know I'm probably going to sink? I won't even get one step. Translation, don't allow a word for someone else to define you. Check with him first. I've heard it preached before. Well, the disciples could have gotten walked on water. They could have, but it didn't come to them. Or did it? You see how we do this? We get in the disciples, their thought process is, okay, I've heard sermons, you know, just belittling the disciples for not getting out and walking on water. But the Bible says Peter negotiated and influenced Jesus to come. Now, what's Jesus supposed to say? He says, if that's you, God, if that's you, tell me to come. What's Jesus supposed to say? I'm not God? Don't come? No. Come. I think that's humorous. We'll never know if the disciples who are still in the boat, they get belittled a lot of times for not walking on water. But I want to tell you something. This is what you need to see. When you pray until something happens, when you negotiate with God, when you're under divine influence, he will, not if, he will. It's not if, it's when. He will ask you to begin with divine reasoning and ask you to do things that are simply impossible. My phone is influenced. I guarantee if you were walking on water today, there'd be a lot more shouting. Yeah. Come on, you know we were born for the impossible. You know we were born to change the culture. You know that sometimes we just need to get pregnant with one word with God. And when we do, even if we begin to sink, Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. I'm so obsessed with the idea that God can change a city. I may not see it in my lifetime, but I will go down with the Titanic to try. Because the response of the other disciples that I notice is that the Bible says when he gets in the boat, they all started bow down worshiping him. You know what? One word from God to go after God in that place, one word from God, the response is other people being influenced to worship God in their boat. You never know what you do, what you say could have influence, defining moments. I find it interesting that Peter, throughout the course of his life, always seemed to reach out in boldness, to say things that he might want to take back, to do things. But do you know that every time he sank, Jesus picked him up and walked on water? We walk by faith, not by sight. We love sight. Sight looks good. Sight feels good. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is the enemy of faith, and sight, not doubt, is the opposite of faith. What you see can actually affect what you do. And if you don't plug into what he says and plug into what he's seeing, if you don't see that, you'll only see what you currently see, and you'll replicate that. Which reality influences you more? Just getting right down to it. In a political year, what gets to you? That or the kingdom? Which one do you see bigger? In a city where crime is rampant, what do we see? If we see fatherlessness, what do we see? Is that the lead story, or is what Jesus' word says the lead story? I'm having to work harder in this sermon today, this service today. I'm pushing. Don't be so pushy. No, just kidding. What am I saying? Ladies and gentlemen, in Christ, women and men who are outside the covenant could move God. You're in Christ. You can move God. In every sphere of influence, everywhere, anytime, to do anything, he'll use anyone. And the response is that we all bow and worship. We influence unseen things. If you've got a word, the wind and the waves do not matter. We are influencers who persuade heaven because his influence persuades us. Another one, John chapter 4. As I mentioned, sometimes prayers are not instantly answered. And sometimes the answer isn't instantly obvious. Two more stories I'll close this up with two other stories and we'll weave it all together. But sometimes they're not always instant. Sometimes they're not always obvious. But your influence matters. You have impact more than you know. You have no idea what you can do. Jesus, in John chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole story because literally these four stories that I'm talking to you about today, you can go back in your Bible and read them. And I could literally preach like 7 weeks on each story. They're amazing stories of God engaging us as he influences us and we influence him. So I'm giving you these four to go back and look at. In John chapter 4, we see the woman at the well. Jesus picks up on a marketplace need. She's thirsty. She needs something. Jesus, who is the living water at the well, offers her something. They begin this dialogue. And all of a sudden, she and him get into this dialogue. He asks questions, she asks questions, she makes perceptions, he makes perceptions, and all of a sudden there's a curiosity factor, and heaven is invading and crashing in to earth. Now, Jesus was at a place that no one else probably would have gone in his position. A religious person, a rabbi of that day would not have gone and been seen with her at that time of day and in that place. But how many know heaven crashes in the most unlikely ways to people we would never normally crash in on? Sidebar, I just joined TikTok. I would never in a million years, I think the demographic is like 12 to 25 on the TikTok thing. And I put a little kingdom influencer thing on there this week. There's stuff on there that isn't so good, people. There's stuff on social media that's not good. But what if I gave one prophetic word and encouraged the hell out of somebody and it left them because I just happened to leave something on that dial? This is what Jesus would do. He'd go to places that were unlikely, like digital church or whatever. He would do that. Why? Because he wanted to crash in and bring heaven to earth. So he's engaging her. She needs something. He brings something. And then he says, he reads her mail, uses supernatural weapons of our warfare, and says, he gets a word of knowledge, talks to her. And instead of shaming her, as it's been preached by some, yeah, she had five husbands. Yeah, she's with another guy. Yeah, that's all true. But the truer truth is she had an encounter with Jesus that she got so excited. There was so much presence and influence on Jesus. She goes back and tells all of the people in her country about what this man said and did. One guy fully persuaded by the Father to bring presence into the atmosphere. One person who was more impressed with what he saw in the heavenly realms than what he saw in the natural realms. We, I'm decreeing this, are a people that are more impressed with what heaven's doing 24/7. We're more impressed with what Jesus is doing 24/7. In 2020, we're more impressed with what Jesus is doing. We don't have time to look at the wind and the waves. And while you may say, well, wait a minute, Ryan, you're gonna fall. Yeah, you might. But here's the good news. Jesus is so incredible in our story that He says to the Syrophoenician woman, you've got great faith. And he says to Peter, you've got little faith. Well, I've got good news for you. All you need is some faith and you will see him work wonders. It doesn't say that we don't have faith. If you have Jesus, you have the faith of Jesus and you have influence. I mean, mustard seed. It's that. And he's so redemptive. If you take a risk and you fall into the wind and the waves because you look at it from time to time, which I've done and you've done, you know what? He'll pick you up out of the boat. That's called grace manifested. I'm speaking to the entrepreneurs. I'm speaking to the risk takers. I'm speaking to the people who are tired of the status quo. I'm speaking to the people who want to change the metrics of the city. I'm speaking to people who want to push and see God move. She was an immediate influencer. The Bible says, I won't read it, but in John 4:39 basically says, she goes back, they all believed, they came back, a lot of those people believed, they came back to Jesus, and all of these people were influenced by this one encounter. They all came back and then asked Jesus to stay two more days and had influence on his agenda. You have no idea how much influence you have with him because he's the one who is in you influencing it. I love how Bill Johnson said it. He says, God is so secure in his sovereignty that he often appears unsovereign just to enjoy the negotiation and the friendship and the requests. We carry his influence. We have no idea how one person that we impact can change the spiritual trajectory of that person. There is a ripple effect, people, of everyone you've touched, everyone you've come around, good, bad, and different. We spend so much time beating ourselves up for the negative influences that we've had. But I want you to partner with heaven's realities. He knows the final story. Don't write people off. Don't write the people off in your lives that you've touched or they've touched you and any negative things that you've uttered, decreed, or done. Give God more credit than that and know that when heaven's influence comes crashing down on you, there is an opportunity for those options to change forever. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep pushing. Pray, intercede, believe. You never know who God will send someone's way. This woman influenced heaven. And influence with others isn't always initially obvious. My final one to close with here. In Mark chapter 5, verse 17, we see the biblical tale of Crazy Eddie the demoniac, the man known as Legion. I call him Crazy Eddie. Sorry if your name is Eddie, I apologize. I know you're not crazy, but in this story, it's my story and I'm preaching. Mark 5, verse 17, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Why did they do that? It's because Crazy Eddie, who was a demoniac, had terrorized an entire region, a spiritual stronghold so significant that everyone avoided Crazy Eddie. It was a city under torment. And here's this man who everyone is talking about because he has influence of fear perpetuating the culture, this one guy, Jesus comes from the boat, out of the storm, to the man who has the demons, has a power encounter. That man gets totally delivered. The demons go into the pigs. You know the story. They drown, which I think is funny. Deviled ham, ha ha, ha ha. That was a total 1980s joke. I mean, it really was. Anyway, the point is, so this man gets totally free. And their response, when the kingdom of heaven comes crashing in with influence, their response is to tell the presence to leave. Did you hear that? Their response is to tell the presence to leave. We want to control you, Jesus. You came here. You messed up our economic issues. You messed up our economic thought processes. You messed up our church building programs. The presence crashed in, and all of a sudden, you're costing us. So Jesus shows up, crashes their party, and their response is, you need to leave. Isn't it interesting that presence and influence isn't always obvious, and on the other side of offense, like the Syrophoenician woman, there are offenses that had to come up so that they could push through the offense to get the breakthrough. Here's this man, Crazy Eddie. He has one message. He has not gone through discipleship programs at Elevation Church. He has not been schooled on every way to evangelize. He has not been indoctrinated in Emmaus ministries and Sozo deliverance ministries. He literally has one message, and that is this. I'm the guy that barked at the moon, and I no longer do that. I used to eat cats. I don't anymore. And I just want to tell you that Jesus rocked my world, and it's so simple. I would like you to be rocked with me as well. It's that simple. Can I tell you something? I'm guilty of it. You probably are too. We have made this gospel so dadgum complicated for people. It's real simple. I came, I engaged Jesus, my chains broke, I'm totally free, and I'm inviting you into the story. Now let's make history. I mean, it's that simple, people. That simple. We bring people to Jesus, he does the work. And this woman, or this man, he's begging Jesus, let me go with you. And the Lord gave him a word that was for him in that moment, in that text. And it says that he said, I want you to go back and tell people what I did. I want you to propagate influence. They didn't appreciate Jesus crashing the scene that day. But the Bible says later, somebody needs to hear this. Later, the game changed. Later, heaven comes back to that place. And this time, they all heard about Crazy Eddie and his days of barking at the moon are over. And he invited the witches, and he invited the warlocks, and he invited the wolves, and he invited the business people. He invited everybody. He invited the porn stars. He invited the TikTokers, the Facebookers. He invited the Twitterers. Because he had influence. And they showed up, and the Bible says he fed the masses. He fed thousands. The same man brought provision, Jesus brought provision to the people who they were earlier mad because it cost them something economically. And he brings food. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear that you're one offense away from a breakthrough. You're one offense away from a breakthrough. I pray in a healthy way that this message offends you, because you never know where heaven comes crashing in on your party, what it can do for you. Because in this case, Jesus isn't just talking about your breakthrough. He wants to crash in and bring a breakthrough and influence a region. The reason I love Crazy Eddie's story is because I was Crazy Eddie. And in 2001, I came back to God full of fear, full of anger, full of rage, full of addictions, full of it. And I had two people who literally weren't social media influencers with millions of followers. They were two people in a church, one a pastor who just simply said yes and made time to hear one guy tell his Crazy Eddie story. And another guy who was not, he would tell you, his name is Jim Otten, he was not a Bible scholar, like theologian. He was one guy who listened to me puke out my guts for 6 months. And it changed my life forever. I want you to hear this as we close.
Hi, my name is Mona Christensen. I met Ryan about 19 years ago. I was just working at Bayside Christian Fellowship, and a guy showed up, and he said that he needed to talk to somebody. So the receptionist buzzed my phone and said, "Hey, Mona, we've got a guy here who needs to talk to somebody, and all the other pastors are out for lunch. Would you talk to him?" And I said, "Well, sure." So we sent him back, and we had a really interesting conversation. He said that he had had a dream and that he was told ride to Bayside and stop in and say that I needed to talk to somebody. And I guess that person was me. Well, after about an hour of talking, I guess in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is a guy who's coming back kind of like a prodigal. I mean, the story is really quite incredible. And, you know, I just felt in listening to him that he was just harboring all kinds of guilt and shame and condemnation and things like that. And I kept thinking, no way. I mean, the guy's coming back home. All we need to do is help him along. And as it turned out, at the same time we were talking, we were in the process of starting a one-to-one discipleship ministry. And at the time, we had maybe, I'm thinking, between 50 or 75 people who had gone through the program. And it just so happened that Jim Otten, who was also a deacon at the time, had gone through it. I have to admit, he was the only person that I had talked to during those 5 years I was working there that showed up with a dream like this.
I had signed up for it, but deep down inside, I was kind of hoping that I wouldn't be assigned anyone. The reality of it was is that all I did was sit and listen to Ryan talk about his life, some of the things that have gone on, and during the course of it, we became friends. Then one weekend, he had gone home to Texas, had spent a lot of time in prayer, and when he came back, the change was very, very dramatic.
All he needed was another guy to come alongside him and provide some accountability, and I knew he would be fine. So in the scheme of all of that, there was really nothing all that unusual, and never in a million years did I know that he'd be marrying Hope and that, you know, he'd be a pastor of a church.
The reality is that I needed to see the change in Ryan as much as Ryan needed to have the change in himself.
I'm just so amazingly blessed that Ryan is where he is today. And I mean, I look at him and think, wow, what would have happened if we hadn't talked that day?
And I've had the pleasure of being his friend through the years and watching him grow in his faith and become the minister that he has been today. He's a blessed man, and I'm a blessed man because of him.
Would you stand? Behind that story was my dad, my parents praying for me all the time. Steeped probably with the same unbelieving thoughts and doubts that some of you may have for people. But you don't know the impact you have for one person. You don't know in the secret place, those people you pray for. My God, you don't know. You don't know. So thank God for somebody that came up to me and said, I'll go with you. I'll listen to you. I'll let you vent, vomit, and puke. I'll sit there with you. We don't know the kind of story that we're about to enter into. There are so many people out there. And if you're bored with your Christian walk, I'm telling you, God is calling you out to the wind and the waves. And he's saying, push. You have no idea. I had a gentleman come after first service and he thanked me. And I said, don't thank me, thank him. But every person who's ever been affected, touched, blessed by this amazing, these amazing people of God, this worship team, the production team, our ushers, greeters, our kids workers, all of them, every single one of those people were all as a result of other people's yes to what God was doing in that moment. And so I have a couple of asks. This is the most bold and blunt I have ever been on this subject. And I'm asking you, I'm not going to beg, but I'm asking you, I want you to push between now and Easter to seek the Lord, because I think this is going to be a boomerang for you and for the people that you ask. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Lord to bring to mind somebody 100% unapologetically to invite them to this church between now and Easter, or on Easter. Between now and Easter. You say, well, Ryan, are you trying to build your kingdom? I'm done trying to convince people I'm not. I am wanting to get those kind of outcomes for people because I want the kingdom of God to expand in your sphere of influence. There are crazy Eddies out there that need to get delivered. There are people that families need to be restored. They're all this stuff. I'm so tired. I'm not venting. I'm so tired of people saying what God can't do. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of it. Tell me what God can do. If he can change my life, he can change anybody's life. He is no respecter of persons. And I'm saying, if you have a fear of, oh my gosh, we're super vibrant, I don't want to come here. Can I tell you, I'm exhausted by that mindset. No more. I don't want to hear that. I had Pastor Jack Guerra came in here from Spring Lake. He just left in the first service. He loved the service. He is impacting people downtown. He's an influencer. Ladies and gentlemen, you're an influencer. The kingdom needs to be propagated in every church. What would it be like for every church in our city to be populated? We can't build enough buildings. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not about building buildings. It's about bringing the ecclesia, the greater body, to an encounter with God. All of our internal pushback needs to die to this. All of our internal, oh, well, I just, you know, it'll never happen. Pray until something happens. Because you have influence with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ministry team, come here real quick. I want you to pray over. Marissa, I feel like you're supposed to pray for somebody too. That's my daughter. She'll rock your world. You know what? She's a product because somebody said yes. I met my wife. Not addicted to stuff because she is the fruit, as my other kids are, the fruit of that ministry to me. I want to see a reciprocal effect throughout the city. Would y'all agree with me that heaven is populated and hell is plundered between now and Easter, and that churches across our city are packed and we're one of them? And I ask you the question, why not us? Why not us? The other question I'm asking you as we close and you come and get prayer for this is, what are you choking on? What do you need? I know some of you are pushing through things. You've been praying for things for a very, very long time. I know because I've heard the discouragement. I feel you. I'm with you. I'm standing in faith for you, and you haven't seen it. But I am decreeing a Syrophoenician woman breakthrough thing over all of us. And when you begin to aim at the heart of God and have influence with God, he will have influence on you, and together you will influence the world around you. I see breakthroughs for everyone in your sphere of influence if you'll just push through. It means that you're going to have to look at him more and not at Netflix more. You're going to have to look at him more, and less. You can't look at the carnal things. You can't spend all your times in carnality and then not look at heaven. Heaven's realities become bigger to you, and watch God work. I know this is strong. I know it's bold, but you know it's true. You cannot partner constantly with inferior realities and not make his world bigger. When you do, you have influence with him. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the prodigals come home. The influence happens. I see people this very week having divine encounters and opportunities to pray for people off to the side. Like, you're so sneaky. You'll create opportunities in workplace environments for them to pray a prayer of just blessing, to share something that God has done, some crazy Eddie story in their life, or some breakthrough, some woman at the well story, whatever. I see that happening. And I ask that they have the courage to step in it and spread it. I also ask for people that they're not ashamed to talk about what Jesus did, and that they'll go after people unrelenting, because the goodness of God is so good. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking this year for our people for an alignment that is so pronounced that as we begin to pray for one another, our prayers get answered in record form. I mean, crazy record form, like miracle signs, wonders, people coming to Jesus in droves. I want to see it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for anything, come up and see one of these amazing saints. And let's agree that when you push, results happen. Love y'all. See you next week.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.